they murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Luckily enough for you guys, you can actually watch this episode on YouTube because we are doing another Call on Location podcast.
Turkey Point.
That's right. We're at the Turkey Point Lighthouse. Pretty cool place. It's in Northeast Maryland, which is what, you know, like an hour, a little bit over
from
Baltimore.
But it's right in my backyard. So yeah. This is up in my country.
we're thinking, you know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we're thinking turkey. So this is the Turkey Point Lighthouse. It was built in 1833. So that's an oldie.
Yes, sir.
So we're at the top of the Chesapeake Bay, pretty much. I mean, we're pretty close. This place is called Northeast. But I actually have been dying to come to this lighthouse. And you're probably going to be like, what's the big deal about this place? I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember a movie from the late 90s called The Curve?
No. Negative.
Okay.
Negative.
Well, when I started getting into like video and film and all that kind of stuff, I loved Scream. Scream was my, like, the first movie where I was like, I want to do that. And Matthew Lillard is in that movie. He plays Stu. So after I got into that movie, I'm like, I want to see what else this guy is in. He's in a movie called The Curve. And I watch it. It's about, you know, the whole legend where if, like, your roommate commits suicide in college, then you get a 4.0.
Well, like a conspiracy theory,
right?
Or something like that. Okay.
Well, this was like a thriller horror movie where him and this other guy do something where they're going to kill their roommate, and they do it by poisoning him and throwing him off the cliff. Here,
I hope that's not going to happen today.
No, but that's the whole thing. Is the movie? It takes place here. They throw him off the cliff of Turkey Point. But I always would watch this movie and be like, "Man, that looks like such a cool place to be." I bet you that's in like Massachusetts or something.
So it was filmed here.
Everything was filmed here.
That's insane.
So the school they use is Towson University. There's a scene where this guy goes and buys his girlfriend stuff. That was Fells Point. But then the big climactic scene of the movie happens here at Turkey Point. So I was ecstatic when I was like, oh, and I found out it was here. But I never, it's been years, and I have not been here before. So
there we go. We're live on location.
Yeah, it's really cool to see this.
Awesome.
So, all right, so let's talk about the Ravens. Enough of me rambling on about movies. So let's talk about the Ravens. They had a big game on Thursday night, their only home primetime game of the season up against the Cleveland Browns. Let's talk about the color rush first. I loved it.
I loved it too, man.
I know there's a lot of people out there that are kind of like, eh, you know, I'm not feeling it, this, that, whatever. I thought, I want to see them wear this every week. I loved it.
And it was better than those stupid gold pants last year with the purple jersey. That was so bad.
Yeah.
But the primary color, obviously, being purple, as we know. Guys, it was great. I don't know if you, obviously, everybody saw, but they probably won't keep this, but a favorite of mine was the end zones.
Oh, that was so great.
They matched the color rush. They matched the bird on the field. I found out on Twitter before, you know, some tweets came out of the pictures early on in the stadium, and I was actually excited. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to get in there and just seeing it under the lights. I took pictures of it. I will be posting those on the Facebook page. But, wow, they did it right on this one. I think we had probably – I did get a sneak peek at Pittsburgh's. I do like Pittsburgh's. I hate to say that, but Pittsburgh's are cool, though.
Yeah.
It's like all yellow with the black numbers. I like that. I think that's what they were. Ravens, dude, the color rush, they got it right on this one. There were some bad ones this year, but Ravens, color rush, NFL did it right on this one, man.
Cincinnati's was pretty bad. They look like zebras.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
And we already know Jacksonville's that grape upon whatever. Ugh. It is. Ugh, nasty.
But this one, I am 100% being honest. I wouldn't mind seeing that jersey around a little bit longer. I wouldn't mind seeing that a couple weeks a year. I love the end zones. I think they should keep the purple end zones.
I think so too, man. It brings everything together. It looked official. It matched, like, obviously the bird was purple. It just brought everything together.
Right.
And if they don't, I might try to write the Ravens big. Look, guys, like, I was iffy on the shield going away.
Right.
I'm a big fan of now the bird being there. I just just because I like the Shield, because and I already know why. It infused Maryland and the Ravens in the one with the Shield and the colors. But yeah, the bird on there, it looked clean. It looks awesome. It's what we're about. It's our logo. And it brought everything in. The field looked great.
Yeah, absolutely. So Thursday night game, again, I'm not a big fan of Thursday night games, but this was a fun game overall. The Ravens, this game was kind of like a metaphor for their entire season so far. First half looked terrible, and I was thinking going into halftime, the Browns might get their first win tonight. And then second half comes out, the defense is on point, the offense is on point. They actually scored a couple touchdowns, something we haven't seen in a while. But this was the tale of two teams, really.
It's always been like that with this team, Brandon. And looking at the overall picture of it, again, we're 5-4. Take it as it is. We're in first place. Take that as it is. I'm excited about that. But you're right. And I watched Twitter explode about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
I've seen you tweet. I've seen other people tweet. I think everybody in Ravens Nation knew what to do. And I think at halftime, I think the Ravens actually read Twitter, because it was like, we were like, the crossing routes were open, Steve Smith's open, oh my God, and it was like, we were seeing these things on the field, and we're like, where are they looking? And all of a sudden, the team comes out, and I've always said, in any football game, they got the tablets on the sideline, they look, but in the heat of the moment, I guess it's hard to really go, but when they go inside the locker room for that good 10 minutes, I don't know what they're doing there, whether they look at a quick film, whether they have a rah-rah speech, I really don't know what goes on at halftime.
Sure.
I'd love to find out, but if someone knows, please let me know.
But work for the Ravens and listen to us,
please let me know what goes on. I just like to know, like, do they make adjustments? Do they talk? Because they came out second half and were like, what wasn't working? They came out firing. And Flacco said this in his postgame presser. He was like, we just picked up the tempo. You know, and Steve Smith echoed that, and everybody was like, well, what happened? It was, instead of walking to the line and taking their time, it was, they pretty much was like, all right, let's go. And I think that's what they have to have. They have to have that attack mentality, and I think that's what worked in the second half. And boy, did it just, it created a whole new ballgame. Because obviously, I was sitting there 3-0, and then the Browns got that touchdown, and I'm like, and Flacco's throwing picks, and I'm like, dude, they're going to beat us on national TV, get their first freaking win, and I'm just going to sit there like, our season just went down the drain. We had a prime opportunity to really get a hold on the North right now and really, you know, kind of put pressure on the Steelers this Sunday, this weekend. Obviously, the games aren't played yet, being that we're recording this weekend, but it's the Bengals are there. They got the Giants, the Cowboys and Steelers play. It's going to be great. It has a chance to really separate ourselves. Again, Steelers was a must-win. We took care of business. This was a win that you just had to take care of. You couldn't just drop the ball on this one.
The Steelers was a must-win for the team and the city and all that kind of stuff. This was a must-win for the players themselves, because, like Sugg said, if you beat the Steelers and then go and lose to the Browns, a Steeler win means nothing.
Nothing means nothing. That means the actual four wins beyond that,
right,
it wouldn't matter, because then you would be 4-5, and then you go, what just happened? We're back under 500. These two games, I literally said to you before the Steelers game was played, these two games I seen the Ravens winning, and I predicted that. I seen them both just coming out, two home games in 4 days, and just coming out taking care of business. We're 3-0 in the division. Swept the Browns again, and I want to drop a tidbit to you. And this was unique, and I was like thinking about this. I was like, this is awesome. Hear me out on this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Remember how we covered the first Browns game and how we ended Monday night, the last primetime game in Cleveland last year, on the walk off block kick.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
It was great. Second off, we sparked the comeback when he blocked field goal. Or actually, it was an extra point, but still, same thing. Field goal attempt, extra point, doesn't matter. It's a kick attempt.
Correct. Yeah.
The Ravens were losing 20-0. They scored 25 unanswered and won 25-20. What was unique about this game, man? Do you see a correlation where I'm going with this one? I want to see if you can catch on.
Let's see. Compared to that last game, was it?
They didn't block a kick.
They didn't block a kick. No, it was special teams.
No block party.
Big special teams.
Go ahead. Points. Okay.
Go ahead.
Ravens are losing 7-3.
Uh-huh.
Final score is 20-7. They scored the last 25 points unanswered in two straight games against Browns this year.
Oh.
How credible is that?
Well, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
That's a good point. Okay.
And that and other than that, now here's the thing. Josh McCown has our number, does he not? He had it in the first game.
He did.
Cody Kessler kind of looked awful.
Yeah.
That point, the pass to whatever his name was, like, I knew it wasn't Barnage, because I was like, I knew he wasn't playing, but he just got behind defense. It was a great throw.
Right.
But he was under duress all the game. Like,
sure.
He was under duress, throwing bad passes. I mean,
right.
And the way the Browns started, you know, actually they said that was the first time a team called a timeout before a play was ran in 2011. It was like 5 years. And I heard that they had 12 men on the field, which was just like very Cleveland-like, already.
To start the whole game.
Like, you call 30-second timeout, and they had two timeouts used, and it wasn't even halfway through the first. It was great. Just God bless Cleveland, I swear. They just know how to do it. But in retrospect, where I was going with this one is just the way – things happen, and then when McCown came in,
sure,
we got to him. He didn't look the same McCown that really owned the Ravens in the past few years. We got to him big time, and there's a lot of pieces that went well in this game that I was just proud of the Ravens. Yes, to the Browns, and there was a chatter floating around was like, well, can you really put stock in this win because it's the Browns? Yes, because as you recall, a winless Dolphins team beat us that 1 year, and that was the early win. They went 1-15. The Browns are the Browns. They were the same team. We went 20-0. They had this virtually the same personnel, man. Apart from the quarterback change, I didn't see anything like receiver wise. Obviously, Josh Gordon won playing in the first one. He won playing in the second one.
Right.
I mean, they had the same personnel, same head coach. It was a different environment, different venue.
Well, let me tell you what I think. I think what happened was, the Ravens have a reputation, we brought it up, that they play down to the team that they're up against.
I said that in the stands. Yep.
Yeah, so that's
when
why
we were down 7-3.
Right, I think that's why that's what we saw in the first half. The second half, did you notice what they did with Joe and the offense? He was allowed to play in the shotgun.
That's what I noticed, too. It was more getting out of the pocket, getting the ball, and getting it out quickly.
But they're also giving Joe a little bit more command of his offense. You know, I think that's what we've been missing for the last couple seasons. After the Super Bowl, Joe said he wanted to play more in the shotgun, and then he was kind of like held back from that. And we haven't seen that a lot from Joe. I think what happened was they were playing down to the Browns' level. Second half rolled around. They said, you know what, Joe? This is a young defense. This is a defense. Yeah, they're quick, but they don't have a lot of experience, so keep them on their toes. Don't let them get set up and come after you and do that kind of stuff. Let's try your shotgun formations out. And it worked. It confused the Browns team. They weren't ready for that. And that's why I think we saw the offense come alive in the second half.
Exactly. And it's the same mentality in the championship game against the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it was a close game, and they went to the locker room, and Harbaugh looked at him. He's like, you know what? Let's open it up. And by golly, did they open up, and they won 28-13 with 2 second-half touchdowns of Bolden. So, I mean, my whole philosophy is I don't feel like Joe Flacco runs a show here.
Right.
I feel that Aaron Rodgers runs a show in Green Bay. We already know Tom Brady, he runs the whole show up in New England. Bill Belichick's
there to facilitate. It's the Tom Brady show.
It is, and he's on another planet right now doing unworldly things right now. But Flacco, I don't feel he runs it.
Right.
And that's what we need. If you want him to lead and you want him, let him go. Morning Mays going to call the plays, but let him out there call the offs. Let him out put personnel where he needs to be. And it's frustrating and I saw it right before the comeback happened, and they just went quick strike after quick strike. I think it was the interception that he threw where it was a scramble play, and he tried to throw back. My buddy even said next to me, he's like, I love the play. If he throws a little bit higher, he just threw a low strike, and there was defenders there.
Right.
I love him trying to make a play there. Obviously, it took points off the board as a field goal because we had two picks in the end zone.
Right.
That was 6 points because the one, Steve Smith, I don't know what he just stopped running around. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, right.
But he's got to make those plays. But what it comes down to is he was walking like this. He would undo his chin strap, and then he would walk to the sidelines, like, and then he'd start trotting, and I'm like, and I've noticed demeanor. It's like there's no energy. There's no oomph. Like,
right.
And I saw him on the side. I took his helmet off. He talked to Harbaugh. I watched that on the sideline. Obviously, I don't show that during the game. That's why I love going to game live. You can see the interaction on the sidelines, where they are.
Yeah.
Is he sitting by himself? Is he at the tablet? Is he talking to a coach? He was talking right to Harbaugh after that interception, and they were going back and forth for a bit, but didn't look heated. I think he was just like, you know, what were you seeing there? But I think what it all comes down to is this team's got to come together now, and they're getting healthy. Yeah. The defense is playing out of their freaking mind.
The defense is great.
Weddle got a pick.
Yeah.
Suggs, torn bicep, dude.
It's still
strip sack, or it was a strip fumble.
Yeah.
Defense pass that caused an interception, dude. Suggs is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
If we get Doomerville back, defense, man, they let up 144 total yards offense. They're number one in the NFL right now.
Uh-huh.
I think letting up a league-best 281 yards total in the whole game, which is phenomenal.
And did you notice, because like you said, you recorded it. I don't know if you heard it listening through the game. Tavon Young, he's not just making an impression on us. the NBC affiliates, the NFL Network announcers were talking about him all game. He didn't have the greatest game. You know, he did miss a couple plays, but as a rookie, he's already got people talking. I didn't know he got a game ball after the Steelers game.
Yes, yes, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And I did hear that. I actually went back and listened to the recording, and they said his name a few times, and what a compliment to opposite Jimmy Smith, who's actually, we already talked about having an under-the-radar year.
Right.
We talked about in the stands sitting there. If Jimmy Smith don't get hurt in the Giants game, there's a win. The Ravens even stop them on fourth down. That's a win. We were just looking at how these games have gone, and if the Ravens stayed healthy, playmakers. But, dude, Steve Smith's a beast doing it at his age. Mike Wallace break out. How about Perryman getting his first touchdown?
And,
that was a great catch.
Waller, too.
Waller got a great touchdown.
Both of theirs, the first NFL touchdowns.
It was great. And I don't know if you call the final score, 20-7. We finally had a multi-score win for the first time since 2014.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the playoffs 2014. It was the last time we beat the Steelers 30-17. It was the last time we won by more than one score. I don't want to lose by more than one score, but 20-7, I was like, who's this team? We actually won by like three touchdowns, which was awesome.
A little crazy seeing Ryan Mallett twice in a month.
We've seen it. One on a bad occasion, but and we saw Sly Flacco slip properly, so we was like, maybe Caleb Joseph came through for us.
So, yeah, he's catching on. He's catching
on. There's a lot of great things, man. I mean, again, it is the Browns. They're 0-10. You know, I think they might go winless. I looked at their schedule. It's pretty brutal. I mean, they got, you know, Bengals, Pittsburgh, Bills, Chargers. I mean, I really don't see Cleveland winning, so it might be unprecedented. But this is a game that, you know,
make them hard to play next year if they get a big draft pick.
That's true. Yeah. And I feel for, because Hugh Jackson's our head coach, and he's a former staff member here. He coached the Oakland Raiders. So I definitely wish you well and success. Just sad to see, man, a team that has so much, but they just continually screw up every year, and it's just like with draft picks, with personnel. I mean, it starts at the top, and that's why I'm so proud of this organization, how they run it. And speaking of running it, I just wish Joe Flacco would get up more. But again, the defense is stellar. I can't gush enough. The locker room was great. I got to watch the postgame speech. Harbaugh's fired up, man.
Yeah.
Again, I know he's made some bad decisions this year, but when you watch these postgame locker room, and he gets intense and fired up, and his voice gets raising. He's one of the greatest head coaches, and even the Jets fan we saw sitting there when we met next to us said, if he was fired tomorrow, Jets would snag him up.
He'd be a Jet immediately.
He'd be employed anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it's just that, again, yeah, you make bad decisions, but I keep bringing this up when bad decisions happen. Bill Belichick did it in an AFC title game against the Colts, and it cost him.
Right.
He went forward on 4th-and-2, and they called a screen pass to Kevin Falk, and it ended up costing him the game. Peyton Manning went right down, and they scored, and it was over. So it was kind of like they've made some bad calls. There were some bad coaching decisions going to people's watches. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, how about Seattle with the greatest blunder? You have second and goal, pretty much win back-to-back Super Bowls, and you throw it without Marshawn. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But Pete Carroll's still head coach.
Yeah.
Some things happen. I mean, it could be worse, guys. We could have been the Seahawks in that position, about to go win back-to-back Super Bowl and lose.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to count it. Yeah, it cost us a few wins, but we're still in first place. People don't forget that. I will say this. I don't want to call out Ravens Nation, Brandon.
Uh-huh.
But, I heard it on TV, but did you feel like any energy, like from the crowd, did you feel energy watching the game, or were you just kind of like, it's the Browns, they look good, they made the adjustments, what was it, or was it like kind of like that Thursday night feel, we were fired up?
It definitely, when you're watching on TV, it definitely sounded like the fans were quiet.
It was.
And it seemed as if it wasn't that crowded.
It wasn't. And I think, I'm going to test this to this. I think it was a combination of, because I did see a lot of people like, oh, I can't make it. A lot of people can get off work.
A lot of people were trying to sell tickets.
I did. Yeah. And I don't think it was a matter of the fact that, obviously, it's not like we were a losing season or we were 0-9 like the Browns. I think it was a combination of, couldn't get off work Thursday night because even tailgating was light. Like, we were down at tailgate lot and we're like, where is everybody?
Right, yeah.
So I think it was a combination of it. You know, people could have been away. It's Thursday night. They probably couldn't get a babysitter. I mean, it is a midweek game.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do. I mean, but
And that Friday, a lot of people had off because it was Veterans Day.
So I think a lot of people maybe took the extended weekend. I was off.
Yeah.
Had a 4-day weekend. So, again, I was very disappointed in Ravens Nation. I mean, it was still loud on some of the third downs. I think when the Ravens sensed and they went up 13-7, I think when we sensed that we had the game and we had to get it, I mean, it was still loud. I mean, the decibel level they put on the screen, it was like 108, 109, which it always, but I just was very disappointed because there was like some of the season ticket guys next to me. They weren't there and we were waiting for them. But it is what it is. I mean, like I said, you know, win, lose, or draw. I don't care about it. I'm there. I'm having fun.
As a whole for the NFL, I don't think these Thursday night games are working out.
No, they're not.
For the NFL, I don't know if they're going to stick around much longer. And like we said, you know, where you got 2 weeks till Thanksgiving, I don't like the fact if there's Thursday night games on every week, it kind of takes away from the specialty of watching football on Thanksgiving.
I 100% agree with you because how much you look at the tradition of the Lions and the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving, then they added the night game, which was fine.
Yeah.
I understand trifecta. Hey, you know, we got it. And the Ravens were part of that for 2 years, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I loved watching them on Thanksgiving.
And I even enjoyed going to the games on Thanksgiving night. That was great. And holiday. I mean, we had holiday tailgate, which was great. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. But you're right. It takes, especially it takes away from Monday night where you look forward to those games. It kind of, I think less is more.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we love the NFL so much because it's only 16 weeks, you know, 16 games, 8 home games where you hold on to it. That's why I never like to sell my tickets. I was even itching, scratching when I didn't want to go. I couldn't go to the game, but I made up for it. I had a great event to go to for my birthday.
Yeah.
I made up for it with 2 road trips. I mean, you got to take them as they come.
Right.
But overall, I was very pleased with the way, you know, the game went. But I don't know, and I'm sure you know this by now. I don't know if they showed on TV.
Right.
By the way, the anthem was great.
Mm-hmm.
Odom's had a great performance. I actually got to watch the recording. I was there live, but I like just to listen to the recording of it. But
right.
We got a surprise pregame entrances, and when it happened, I got goosebumps, and I grabbed my buddy by it. I was like, are you kidding me? Steve Smith asking permission to do Ray's entrance. Dude. I'm getting goosebumps now. But me, because I literally said the last time I literally heard that music come on in the stadium was two occasions. The last two times. Playoff game 2012.
Right.
Or 2013, but obviously 2012 season. And the parade when Ray Lewis came out with the trophy.
With the trophy, right.
And I was in tears at that point. obviously for good reasons. And the third time was when he got ducked in Ring of Honor, but that's given. But every time he was there, especially coming out, but when Steve Smith did it, and actually where he did it, where my seats were, I could see him, but I couldn't see the full dance. I actually got a picture of it. I didn't get the video, but I actually got to see the video live.
No one was expecting that.
No.
He set up for video.
But when he did it, he actually did it well.
Yeah.
And he actually joked. He said he almost chickened out because he watched YouTube videos about it. And he was like, but he actually called Ray that day, and Ray gave him his blessing. And
all good.
And he even said he felt like a rock star. And like, he was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he felt adrenaline. And I think it was great. You know, it was great to see, get us fired up, and we were all high-fiving. So, I mean, it was really great to have that energy. And see, Smith said after the game, did you see the interview?
No.
Go on the Ravens app.
Yeah.
The interview post game. He actually got the interview by NFL Network. Michael Irvin, Rich Eisen, Steve Mariucci, and Marshall Faulk interviewed him. He was in the panel there. Great interview. He called out Rodney Harrison for calling him out and being old, saying like, and Rodney Harrison called out the team because
why are we still calling Steve Smith old at this point? How much more does he have to prove that he's not old?
Well,
even though I just brought it up like 2 weeks ago,
you
can
did.
He still bring it? But
he can. I mean, when healthy,
how many more times does he have to do that?
But here's the thing, and I've said this time and time again. The dude's building a Hall of Fame resume, and he's just building it game by game. Something special is brewing here with Steve Smith, and they asked him, obviously, do the Ravens have what it takes to send you off in the sunset, 16th year winning Super Bowl? He just he kind of like brushed it off, but he's just like, he's with a part of a group of guys, and he credited the defense. He credited the offense, saying, we're finding our footing. We're in first place.
Right.
But he said this. They asked him about his success and his drive, and I'm quoting Steve Smith here by saying, he said, His fear to fail drives him to succeed. And I hold on to that. I'm like, that's awesome because he doesn't want to let his players down, his family down. And he said that coming back. He said because he wants to – the organization gave him a contract, not only a contract or obligation, but he said they gave me a chance when the Panthers did it.
Right.
They saw something in me, and he goes, you know what?
I'm
here to prove it.
Yeah.
And it just – that's why I'm like, with this 4-game losing streak, when he wasn't there, I'm like – that he brought that Bolden factor, that Derek Mason factor, where it was like, we need that energy. We need the, you know, he caught a pass and he was on the sideline like beefing up the guy jawing at him.
Right.
That stiff arm, when he got that crossing route and he stiffed arm that guy, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, That's what we need. We need playmakers. We need a Mike Wallace 95-yard touchdown. We need a Steve Smith, you know, throwing defenders down. We need that fire. And if he can stay healthy, I think it might be contagious. And Terrell Suggs playing out of his mind. He said he was running on pure adrenaline, but I don't know how he's doing it. I looked at my dad. Me and my dad, you know, he came with me to the game, and I was like, do you understand that Suggs is doing this with a torn bicep? I said, how freakish is that?
Yeah.
Like, torn bicep, he's out there, you know, getting past pass rushers, stripping balls, you know, getting after, and they were getting pressure. How about Darius Webb with that unblocked sack? That was great.
Yeah, what's Webb doing that? Come on.
I thought it was Weddle, and I was like, wait a second, I took a double take, and my buddy said, that's not Weddle, it's Webb. I'm like, wrong W, but still. But it was just great to see, as a team as a whole, they played well.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough that this needs momentum carries forward. Not going to get into it now.
Uh-huh.
But they have a mini bye week. Obviously, Harbaugh gave them off till next Tuesday. So, again, this is great for our team.
Right.
Because Yanda wasn't there. Saw some breakdown coverage. I think Yanda gets healthy.
Yeah.
Terrence West has some great runs. But I wanted to ask you this. Do you think, with the importance of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
do you think the Ravens have what it takes to make the final push in December? From what you've seen so far at 5-4, and we were talking about 5-4 record-wise, Ravens are 5-4. I'm not comparing this team to 2000 by any chance.
Right.
But their defense is playing well.
Yeah.
If we can stop turning the ball over and take care of enough to win and score enough points.
Right.
The Ravens rode off 7 straight in 2000 when they were 5-4. Again, that's probably not going to happen this year, but with the opponents we have left, do you see the Ravens putting in self for a division win?
I think that if everyone can stay healthy and they give Joe the freedom of the shotgun, we'll be okay. If the offensive coordinator comes into the next game and says, this is how we're going to do it, we're not going to do anything. I think that's the key to Joe's game. Everyone's talking about Joe's overthrowing this. He's doing this wrong. He's doing that wrong. And he does have some blunders. But I think that's because they're not letting him do what he's comfortable with. I think they can go on a tear. I don't think they're going to go undefeated in December
by
or anything like that.
They got Patriots Monday night. That's
Patriots,
gonna be
you know, yeah, that's going to be a rough one. But they have, you know, the Steelers is always rough. They have the Dolphins coming up. The Dolphins have had an uneven season. So, I mean, that should be a win. I think they can definitely win the division. I think they can make the playoffs, but there's so many factors coming into it. Steve Smith has to continue to be healthy. Yes. Terrell Suggs can't get injured anymore.
Healthy is the big thing.
Yeah, and they need to give Joe the freedom to run his offense the way that he wants to do it. If, I was going to say, like, look, how much money have they spent on Joe now? Like, what was it, $120 million? Let him do his thing for $120 million.
Perfect point, man.
Yeah.
Perfect
if he's
point.
If he's worth that money and you're building your offense around him, let him run it the way he sees fit. I understand what an offensive coordinator does, but let him run. Let him do the shotgun. If he's comfortable there, he can make plays. Let it happen.
I think you're right, and he was quoted on some of the sound effects that we've seen from Ravens.
Yeah.
We can't win a championship playing like this. He said that to Cam Cameron with the whole holding back thing. So I think Joe needs to just step in, and they need to be communicative. I need to see it.
Right.
He needs to transcend the field. You can do it all in practice all you want. He can make the laser throws, but everybody keeps saying he can't step into throws. I really think it's that brace because he's never used to playing something like that, and we're seeing it. I'm like, okay, why don't you try to play an NFL game with people coming at you with a knee brace and see if you plant your foot? I'm not blaming the knee brace totally, but who knows if it's causing that mechanics wise? Who knows?
I mean, I used to play soccer as a kid in my middle school, and I tore up a knee pretty bad over the summer diving off a diving board wrong, and I had a brace the rest of my playing career. I mean, I had to stop at eighth grade because of it, but I had to get adjusted to wearing that brace on my knee because it was. I wasn't
it's an
used
adjustment.
To it.
I mean, he slid and he busted it. So, I mean, it's he's not thinking is there. So, obviously, he's trying not to think about it, but it's there. Not blaming the passing on that. I mean, I've seen some plays where he threw. But, I mean, everybody's saying he don't drive. But the highlights I've seen on TV and when I watched the game when I got home, he threw a ball to Pitta, middle field, and he drove through it. He stood there and pulled in the pocket and just drove it. And I think if that just keeps happening and the line blocks, and again, it's all about the line. It's everything. It's a mechanical thing that has to work. It's well machined. You know, the line's got to block, got to hit your blocks, can't have the pass rush. But I think overall, 5-4, I'm telling you, I told everybody on the drive home with what voice I had left is if the Ravens can somehow keep this momentum and win the North, that's the only way they're getting in.
Right.
Because they can't get any other way unless they just basically run team and go undefeated or maybe even lose one game total. They can win a home playoff game, whoever that opponent is. Home playoff game, home field advantage, I would give us that win. after all we've been through,
right.
three-game winning streak, four-game losing streak, snapping that with another two-game winning streak and still going. Streaky, man. We're streaky. It's not one and done, one win, one loss. It's pretty much, yeah, it's streaks. If they can get in and win that, we're talking, we're in the final eight of the NFL. We're in the divisional round once again. So, and everybody keeps talking about is Harbaugh's job safe. The Ravens would have a total meltdown in the next month, and it has to leak into next year for Harbaugh to be considered on a hot seat. His seat's kind of getting warm.
It's warm,
but it's not there yet because of the resume he's built. I've said that time and time again, and we're going to defend that, shut that down. There's no conspiracy. He's not going anywhere. He's still under contract. It's going to be the same Harbaugh coach team. But I'm just like excited to see some players involved. We brought players back that have been integral to this team and played a part. Draw Powers. Playing out of his mind.
Doing great.
Tavon Young solidifying himself against alongside Jimmy Smith against that.
Right now defense. Has my pick for rookie of the year.
This is great. And if these players can solidify their positions and just hold steadfast to that, I think this team, they can go. They can win the North. They got another bat, and it's going to come down at Christmas Day game, I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Day in Pittsburgh will win the North. It's probably going to be it because you figure the how it's going to ebb and flow, you're going to see that happening. So 5-4 looks great. We're one game over 500, not under, and it just looks great from being up top and looking down to see what happens this weekend, man, because it's right now we're sitting pretty. We're in first place, and let's hold on to that.
Right. Absolutely. So, Josh, for this Red Eye review here at the Turkey Point Lighthouse, have we covered everything?
Quoth Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, as always.
And if you guys have any cool places in Maryland you think that we should go out and film an episode of The Call, let us know. Well, tweet to us. Say, hey, I got a great location for you guys. Check it out here. Because we're going to continue to do the video podcast.
Christmas is coming.
That's right.
Do a Christmassy one, man.
That's right. I'm thinking Hamden, 34th Street.
The lights.
Yeah.
Thinking.
That's a landmark for the Baltimore area. But anyway, guys, listen, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please write an iTunes review, be social with the show, let people know on Facebook and Twitter. You know, I have to actually redo this because Vine's dead.
Really?
I got to take that out now.
No Vine.
Vine is,
they cut the vines.
Yeah, cut the vines.
They cut the vines. It's gone.
That's right.
They're dead.
So Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, no Vine, Reddit, Snapchat, anywhere you're social.
I'm starting to get the flow of it now. Here we go.
It's gone now. It's ruined. I don't know what else to do. Vine's gone. I had some great vines back in the day, man. I had some fun with that when it first came out, but God, it got just horrible. Just stupid. Stupid stuff.
Oh, boy.
All right, guys, so go over to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We do Facebook Live videos, do game day previews, all that kind of good stuff. So I think that's pretty much it for this Red Eye Review. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been great being out here, man, at Turkey Point, and what a great, beautiful day to cover a great win, being on top of the division, guys. Enjoy this mini bye week, man. Take it as it is. Team's got to get healthy, we know. We got the Dallas Cowboys. See what happens against Pittsburgh this weekend. But Dallas, big house and big day. It's going to be great. Can't wait, man. And it's going to be a big Sunday, Brandon, because we have that night, Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. So it's going to be a great
Survivor
Sunday.
Series.
It's going to be a great Sunday. So hopefully we can beat Dallas in big day. And we'll cover everything there. So we have a lot of good content for the Purple Friday preview next week. But enjoy the mini bye week. Till then, rest up. Enjoy Sunday. Just Raven football free. I hate to say that, but it's going to be great. Enjoying some great games. They have some great games this weekend. Seattle, New England on Sunday night. Pittsburgh, Cowboys. We have the Giants and Bengals. But there's going to be some games I'm going to be watching, man. It's going to be great. We get my football fill. Till then, enjoy it. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.